Good evening. Welcome to a special edition. I brought this tonight. My name is Kat. This is Buckets. With me is Leon. Good evening. How are you?
I'm
Tonight,
good. How are you? It's a
I'm
little bit
good.
cold out here today.
Yes, that's why I'm wearing a jumper for
Oh, it's cold enough to ice skate the wonderful black ice that's currently on the road at the moment.
So, tonight's conversation is once again political. And this podcast is opinion based only. Tonight's focus is on the Labor budget for 2024. Now it comes down to for 2024-25, easing the cost of living crisis and pressures, building more homes for these for Australians, investing in a future made here at home in Australia, strengthening Medicare and the care economy, and broadening opportunity and advancing equality. My first question is to Leon. With the budget now released to the public, does this spell trouble for the Labor government?
I think it did. I think, to be honest, I actually believe it does, and there is a reason why. They promised, well, the Jim Chalmers, the treasurer, did promise some power rebate, the electricity rebates, to try and ease the cost of living, at least for the power side of things. They were offering $300 in electric rebates. However, less than 2 days after that was announced, Ausgrid announced that they were going to start charging people to put power back into the grid because apparently there's too much solar power going back into the grid, which kind of I was actually quite surprised by that. But they're going to charge, Ausgrid are planning on charging customers, I believe it was between 12 and 4. That's basically when everything is full anyway. So basically, that $300 rebate, you've lost 180 of it just like that. At least between 150 and 180, just like that, depending on how much solar power, how many solar panels you have, or whether or not you have a battery or not.
Good answer. What if you don't actually have a battery though? Like,
If
what
you
if
don't
you're
have a battery, you're screwed. That's when it really hits you. That's where the 180, 50, 180 hits you. So if you don't have a battery, then you're going to cop it, but it's going to cost a lot to put in a battery.
but see, this is the kind of thing because, like, unless you've got some sort of special discount with the government, where the government actually does pay a good amount of your electricity bill. That $300 will just go like water. It really will. I mean, if on low or middle income earners can perhaps get the special entitlement that people are get when they're on a disability support pension, it still wouldn't be enough to pay the whole bill because the bill might be $250 to $300. Per annum. So $300, it might be good for like one bill, but then after that it's kind of pointless. It's
That it's gobbled up.
gobbled up. It's unrealistic to Australia's power needs. It really is. It's like it's like giving like a free burger at Macca's. It's about the same equivalent effectively.
Speaking of that, which matches the second question. With only a one-time $300 off the electricity bill, is this the end of Prime Minister Albanese and Labor in Australia altogether?
Well, so far it's been a mixed response to Anthony Albanese's budget. He's not getting a bounce, as far as I know. He's not getting a bounce in the polls, which usually, as a prime minister, you might get on the back of a budget, which in this case was reported to be a surplus, which was really surprised. I think the surplus was roughly 9.3 the surplus was about $9.3 billion. But I don't believe he is doing enough at the moment. So if he believed he was on a winner, then he would probably try his luck and call for an early election, but I don't believe that that's in the works. So, well, I guess we'll have to wait until around May next year. That is the absolute latest he could possibly call an election.
Same question, your answer,
Well,
which is with the one time $300 off the electricity bill, is this the end of Prime Minister Albanese and his government in Australia altogether?
It wouldn't just be for this. Okay, this is like one teardrop as to why people want to get rid of Albanese. I mean, it wouldn't, this wouldn't be the only reason. It would be a reason, but it wouldn't be it, like every reason. I think the fact that Albanese said that he would save $270 off the average Australian income by installing solar panel things and stuff like that, and he's had to change that several times, and now we get this $300 off surplus, which all it's really done is basically increased inflation on Ausgrid and also other electricity companies, because they've just taken full advantage of that, really. Because they know it's coming, so they're just going to go, oh, we'll just raise the prices by $300, so they have to pay that. So no one really gains anything from it, really. I don't think this. I mean, I think this is like one thing that might vote him out, but I don't think it's the only thing. I think this is one small teardrop as to why everyone wants to get rid of Albanese.
Here's the next question. With the cost of living crisis, would Peter Dutton be the one to help renters' cost of living and inflation as preferred Prime Minister Leon?
In Mr. Dutton's budget reply, he did want to tackle the cost of living by cutting the intake of people for about 25%, but unfortunately that's not enough. They need to stop a lot more of that. They need to stop more than just I believe 25%, because there's too many properties being snapped up quickly by foreign investors, and there's not enough buildings, not enough houses going up to offset the people who are struggling, who want to get themselves into a house, and they can't get themselves into a house because of the asking prices of houses for sale right now, and let alone being able to rent a property at the moment. So I think Peter Dutton's intake I was a safe choice, but I don't believe that's enough. I believe he needs to do a lot more than that if he wants to try to get more people into homes and deal with the cost of living.
Wow, great answer. Buckets, same question, your answer. With the cost of living crisis currently, would Peter Dutton be the one to help renters and the cost of living and inflation as preferred Prime Minister?
Could you ask that question again, please?
With the cost of living crisis, would Peter Dutton be the one to help renters, cost of living, inflation as preferred Prime Minister?
Hard to say, to be honest. I mean, I think he's better than Albanese because he's actually got a plan as opposed to actually having no plan. Peter Dutton basically wants to limit the amount of foreign investors coming to Australia to buy property, which, to be perfectly honest, is a really good thing, right? Because what you'll find, and I don't mean to be racist here, but what you'll find is that you'll have a lot of Chinese investors that will want to snap up Australian properties, but then they won't be filled. They'll just stay there until the market rises, and then they'll sell them off when they want to go into retirement. So effectively, you have these people that just buy empty buildings and they keep them empty, okay, until they want to sell them to someone else, until the property goes up higher and they go, oh, let's make a profit off this, and then they sell them off. So they're effectively buying empty homes, which where they have no intention of renting them or anything like that. So from Dutton's perspective, Limiting the amount of foreign investors to buy property is actually a good thing for Australia at this point in time. Because then it says, okay, the Australian people actually have a chance to access those properties. That's a really good thing to have. Another really good idea that I think Dutton should basically implement is the rental freeze, because not most Australians can't afford to live in New South Wales or live in Queensland. So there's going to be a point in time where all these Australian people who are educated in Australia will just go, I can't afford to live in my own country. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go to places like China. I'm going to go places like Thailand. I'm going to go places like England. I'll go to America. I'll go to other countries that will accommodate me and my skills and appreciate the fact that I've been educated in Australia, but then go there. And then what you've got a skill shortage after that, right? So I agree that we're letting too many people into the country when we're not building enough houses quick enough, because I think the Albanese government is under the impression that we can basically build a house overnight, which we can't. We don't have the resource. We don't have the resources. We
We don't
don't
have the
have
supply.
the supply. We don't even have enough tradesmen to build them that quickly, right? Because Albanese has failed us in education. So we're going to have quadruple the amount of homeless people on the street because Albanese has no plan, right? So unfortunately, even though Dutton is unpopular, it sounds like he's the man for the job, because unfortunately, Labor doesn't want to pick up the ball sack and actually run with it. They just want to drop the ball and run.
Exactly.
Another thing to take into consideration right now is the skill shortages, as you said, and there's a lot of construction industries that are continually going under at the moment, which is making the target that the ALP set for themselves before the election, but just about nearly impossible to reach, especially while all these businesses are going out of business.
This is what I do believe, is that, as you and Buckets have both said, Mr. Dutton could be the man for the job, the top job. He could potentially help, when it comes to renters with a rent cap and rent freeze. All he has to do is make a deal with the Greens if he becomes Prime Minister of Australia. Now, if he makes that deal with the Greens and agrees to that, then he'll be hailed a hero. Because, as Bucket said, he does have a plan. He has gone on TikTok. He has been on the news to say, this is what I can do. This is how I can help Australians. This is what we can do together. And if he has a plan, he just has to agree on one thing and two things, actually, the rent cap and the rental freeze. If they can do it overseas, we can do it here under the Liberal government. And I'm sure if he just shakes hands with the Greens to agree on those two motions and puts it into law, then he'll be held a hero. At the moment, all of us in Australia should be proud to say we're Australians, but we are being bamboozled by this, don't come at me, we are bamboozled by this government, because we are being told, we are the heroes, we'll do this, we'll do that. But the thing is, you look at Mr. Anthony Albanese. I mean, it's when they first said, oh, it's not easy under Albanese, I brushed it off thinking, yeah, I laughed it off. But as Bucket said something the other day, which was, it really is, not easy under Albanese. Because what happened to, oh, I'm not going to fly away when the going gets tough.
What was the first thing he did? He got in his jet, went to the States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been here, there, and everywhere. Now, people, all of us in Australia are suffering under him. And the fact that he's not willing, as Bucket said, to pick up the ball, right? Pick up the ball, run. Run 90 meters, score that try. But you can't do it, because Peter Dutton may be able to do it.
And you know what happens when he doesn't get his way? He throws in distraction, aka the, what is it, the e-safety commissioner or something like that. And they pretty much went after Elon Musk, and they took it to the courts, and Elon Musk won. So that was kind of thing. That was kind of, you don't agree with me, we're going to censor you. Elon Musk challenged it, and Elon Musk won. So that's just like, they can't use that distraction no more, because I wouldn't be surprised if, say, the other social media networks follow Elon Musk and challenge censorship in Australia.
As you were saying that, the point I'd like to raise is if you have to censor all these media outlets, okay, when you're doing a bad job, you shouldn't be prime minister.
Dictatorship.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Okay, look, every prime ministership that's existed in Australia, they've all had their good times, they've all had their bad, right? But if you know you're so crap that you have to censor the media from from shining some light on the crap job that you're doing, you shouldn't be prime minister. Okay,
Exactly.
what you should be doing is your job, leading the country and saving the Australian people from a financial crisis, which is pretty much what every single prime minister tried to do. And if they couldn't do it, guess what? They got knocked off by their own party or the Governor General.
But do you know who lost out on this budget? It was people like me and people who were suffering and on, benefits. He didn't even look at that in this year's budget. He just minus he pretended that that wasn't there. There are people like me who are work in retail, who work as casuals but have no shifts, no pay, and he's not looking at that, right?
And where's job safety there? Everyone now is a casual, okay,
Yeah.
because it's like you've thrown out job security out the freaking window. And it's like people are having to go to work when they're sick, because if they don't, they lose their jobs because there's no job security.
Exactly. And the other thing I'll say to it, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, which is the Labour Party is no longer, the Labour Party is no longer the party of Hawke and Whitlam. Gone are the days under Hawke and Whitlam that the government was fighting for the people.
What's the second?
And
Sorry, go.
here's something for you, right? With that $300 rebate, that electric rebate, the electric rebate, the power rebate, it's not means tested. So that means someone like the likes of Australia's richest person, I think it's Gina Rinehart, she could apply for that and get it, as if she needs the money for the rebate.
I just like to remind everyone that $300, that works out to be like 45 cents a day. That's all it is. I mean it might look, oh wow, $300, but it's literally 45 cents a day. It's
But that's the
nothing.
crap. That's the crap about the rebate. That's the crap thing about the rebate not being means tested. Someone like Gina Rinehart could apply for a rebate and get it, while people on the streets who have sleeping in tents, they don't get a rebate because they don't have power.
The other thing I hate about this budget is that they're saying, hey, we're going to give all these tax cuts to people who are working and whatever. But if you're not working, you're not going to get the tax cut because you don't work. So you've got stacks and stacks and stacks of unemployed people who are still going to be worse off because the Albanese have just, the government have just basically said, well, if you work, you're good, we'll get you a tax rebate. Which, by the way, you're going to get anyway because everyone gets tax rebates anyway, if they work, right? But if you're homeless, you don't have a home, you get nothing. You get absolutely nothing. You don't
You
get a
get
job
screwed
contract.
over.
You get
Yeah.
nothing from the government. No one's going to help you. You don't even get Centrelink because you don't have an address. Okay? So this once great party that pride itself in the worker and
Being the
also
People's Party.
the People's Party, is, and saying We're the one that stick up for the underprivileged. We're the ones that stick up for the
The
workers.
underdogs.
What are the underdogs? Yeah, we're the ones. We're the good guys. They have royally screwed us over and have become more conservative than the Liberal Party. It's amazing.
That's what I'm saying. The Labour Party is no longer the party of Whitlam or Bob Hawke. And I mean that with no disrespect. But that's how I feel. Let's look at the next question. Here we go. Are Australians waking up to what is going on and preparing to vote out Albanese?
I would probably say, well, yeah, you gotta follow the patterns. You gotta follow the patterns. Now, what I mean by that is the upcoming state election in Queensland, also the recent state election in Tasmania, which produced a hung parliament. So you know they don't like either of these main parties at the moment, and they're going to the minor parties, hence where Jackie Lambie's managed to land a big blow there in Tasmania. She is the effectively the kingmaker in Tasmania. But as far as Queensland goes, the ALP is quite frankly on the nose at this point in time. So I would expect. You'll have to wait and see what happens at the state election. This will give you a better map of how the federal election will go, because you can't have the federal government, right, who is one party, and the state governments being other parties, you know, not federal, not matching the federal. So it'll be a cluster if that was to happen.
Because as we know, if you watch what's going on TikTok currently, there's obviously I'm a millennial because I was born in the 80s. But if you look at Gen Zers and millennials and all these people on TikTok are now putting up on their TikToks, vote Albo out, vote Albo out. This is what he's done. And they're putting like sound bites and everything. There's even young, you know. Young people who now, you know, who are now of ages of 18 and up, who are now waking up, who are saying, now is the time. Now is the time. We need to step up and make a noise. We need to tell him enough is enough. You know, our federal election is coming up and we need to get this government out.
Yeah,
Yeah,
but
you don't suppose that's the reason why I believe the Greens want the voter age lowered to 16, because that way they get the 2 years beforehand.
You see, I mean, like, I just kind of, I mean, I'm sure that they would love to do that, right? But I see that as a problem because the 16-year-olds don't really have the same maturity as a full 18-year-old adult because an 18-year-old is considered an adult. Most 16-year-olds are still in fact, almost all 16, unless they're in a trade. Okay, they're all living at home with their parents. And so it would be very easy to manipulate teenagers and asking them to vote for things that are trivial or something like that. Like if there was like say a Labor minister that say, well, if you vote for me, I'll give you $200. I mean, probably every 16-year-old would go, yep, sure. You know, but maybe they wouldn't say, I'll take away your education, but I'll give you $200. And they'll be
But
going, yeah, well, sure. So I disagree that the voting age should be 16. It should always be 18 or in an adult level. So I mean, at least allow these young minds to have a bit of maturity first before they vote, because then they can think for themselves.
at the same time, as I said, if you watch TikTok, all these young ones are now speaking out and speaking up publicly and having enough of what is going on around them. Like you cannot, for example, I'll keep it short and sweet. If you're a uni student or you're a TAFE student, and if you're a uni student and a TAFE student and you've got HECS and you're paying up to 3,000 or 6,000 or $11,000, right? You cannot buy your first home because the bank will not blink twice at you, because once they see you're paying up to th from 3 grand up, you need to pay that back before the bank actually allows you to purchase your own home or put a deposit on your own home.
Yeah, but let's be real. Name one 16-year-old that's going to be able to want to, or even will have the ability or means to even move out of home.
Well, if
That's why we have child services.
yeah, but if you're working as a tradie and you're making mint, then and you're thinking about your future and you're saying, oh, I've got enough down payment, but I can't because I'm paying off HECS. You know, like,
But look. Most of those traineeships that start at 16 years of age, according to the fact that they've left school, they would still be on bare minimum wage and they would not be able to support themselves realistically. It's true. I mean, the federal government has risen the minimum wage slightly higher, maybe $24 an hour. But there's a lot of shadiness that happens in this in country where they don't even pay them that, especially for apprenticeships. So, 16 years of age, I think, I don't know. Maybe I think that they would need to have at least 2 years more experience, or maturity to actually go, this is who I want to vote for. And I do notice that there is a trade, sorry, like a sort of like a it's kind of a tradition, unfortunately, but if your family believes that the Liberal Party is the right party for you, then you're typically going to vote for the Liberal Party. If they believe that the Greens are the best party, you're typically going to vote for the Greens, and the same can be said for the Labour Party. I think when you actually get to the stage with which is what can this party actually do for me? And these are the type of voters that are, that are older than 18 years of age. They're clearly basically a lot older that have really lived a full and experienced life. They would just go, look, I don't care if you're from Labor and I don't care if you're a Liberal. I want to know what you're going to do for me. So to be honest, to vote at the age 16 would be quite dangerous for Australia.
Let's look at the next question. Here we go. Is Peter Dutton secretly planning his campaign for the position of Prime Minister for the federal election? Leon.
I think you'll find that both of them that both of them do that by Jim Chalmers, the treasurer, announcing a surplus this year. However, it was very caution. It was very cautiously predicting deficits for 24, 25, 25, 26, 20, and so on. So he did the smart thing by at least forecasting a budget, which gives Anthony Albanese a little bit of leeway to say, look, we are bringing this budget back to surplus. It's not easy, but we're trying. We're doing that. So that would have given Anthony Albanese a bit of confidence, but I think pulling an election too early.
But that's what I'm saying. Do you think he's secretly planning his
Well,
campaign?
they all are. I mean,
Well,
let's
that's
be real.
it. Well, yeah, that the way. Well, he can't produce another budget. He can't do one next year because that would be in the middle of a campaign. He wouldn't be able to do it. So I think the next one will be the election campaign one, which I believe would be the MYEFO, which is the mid-year end of financial one, which probably is going to be November, which would be like 5 or 6 months from now, or something along those lines. You'll know then whether or not this is a campaign starting now.
Look, if Albanese isn't starting his campaign right now, he's already lost, to be perfectly honest. I know he says he wants to call an election later on in 2025, but if he's not thinking about his election right now, he should step down, to be honest, because I think he knows a lot of people hate him, and I think he's not very good with kind of hiding his feelings, because he seems to get angry at the Australian people when they disagree with him. And I've also noticed something about Dutton, which is Dutton is quiet until he needs to speak up. And the other thing about Dutton is that a lot of, even though he is unpopular with a lot of Australian people, a lot of the stuff that Dutton says, they are reasonable questions. They are reasonable questions. So one of the questions when the Voice party Voice referendum came into play, simple question was, what does it mean when you call someone Aboriginal? What Please define what being Aboriginal is exactly. And I think that's a, I don't think that's a racist question. I think that's a reasonable question, especially when you're about to hand over all your power to the Aboriginal people. You know, if we're going to give like a lot of power to them, we have to understand, okay, who are we giving all this power to? And of course, Aboriginal people aren't just one people. They're an entire tribe of, or tribes of people, right? But that was met with, oh yeah, that was like, that's a racist question. How dare you ask that question? I think Dutton, he asks questions that are important, that are mature. They're not unreasonable in my opinion. And at the moment, I mean, apart from everyone calling him a buffoon, because that's what Albanese called him 3 years ago, what has Dutton actually done wrong so far? And I can't actually name anything yet except asked questions based off the Prime Minister's decisions,
You'll
which is the
find that's
right.
what you'll find that's what the opposition do all the time is they will sit back, say nothing until the Prime Minister screws up, and then then you'll just jump down quicker than you could say jump down. So
But that's kind of their job, right? I mean, that's healthy. It's healthy politics. It's what they're supposed to do. It would be worse for Peter Dutton for him to go, yeah, this is bad. We're not even going to challenge it. It would be much worse for Peter Dutton if he did that than to go, all right, Mr. Albanese, why have you made this decision and who does this benefit? Right? And if Mr. Albanese is just going to go change the subject, fumble, get angry at whatever the hell Scott Morrison did, prior to COVID, then he's not actually answering the question. And worse than that, he's deceiving the Australian people in his own electorate. Horrible. Answer the question. I think Australians are just tired of Albanese's crap, and Albanese starts needs to start answering the Australian people and telling them why we're making these decisions and how this is actually going to benefit the Australian people. And he hasn't actually done that. All he's done is these stupid freaking woke celebrity party crap that you'd only expect from celebrities, which isn't helping anyone. And I think that he doesn't actually realize he's an actual politician. He thinks he's just a celebrity.
The only thing I'll say about this and move on is that how I see both men is our current incumbent sitting prime minister is that he goes out to the press to answer questions and they ask him stuff and he fumbles it and he can't even answer a question or questions and he starts going darker and he gets angry and after he gets angry, he says, that's enough, and he walks away. You go to his opposition, the Honourable Peter Dutton, and he'll answer the question calmly, politely, respectfully. He won't fumble because he'll be watching Anthony Albanese and he'll be going, I can answer this, and he'll have his answer ready at the helm. Because he knows that if he answers it, he may actually be voted in because a lot of people still follow Scott Morrison. A lot of people still believe in his policies. a lot of people will back the Liberal National Party because Peter Dutton, who was once a cop, mind you, will answer it truthfully. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think Dutton is just way more clear than our current sitting Prime Minister. I think that he asks clear and concise questions, which are quite simple. Some of them are more complicated than others due to the complexity of some policies. But he asks simple questions that should be very easy to understand. And Albanese just cannot answer them properly. He just can't. I mean, I remember when he first basically became prime minister during when he first started out, and he couldn't remember the statistics of his own policies.
Yeah, they were asking what's the unemployment rate, and he didn't even know what the unemployment rate was.
You remember the old one, you know, the one that gets a politician every single time. What is a woman? Politicians cannot answer that question. What is a woman? A female. Was that so hard to answer? I've got an intellectual disability, and even I can answer that freaking question.
In
These
this
guys need
day
spin doctors to find out whether or not rain is wet.
and age, it is so politically incorrect to even say that.
Get flagged. We're not going to get flagged for that because it's bloody obvious.
We
It shouldn't
could,
be
it's
that freaking
YouTube.
hard to answer that question.
We could, it's YouTube.
Oh, please.
Yeah, look, I think if our Prime Minister can't be honest with us and can't answer simple questions,
Like that.
then
He shouldn't be the
you
Prime
have no business
Minister.
being Prime
Prime Minister.
Minister.
Yeah, you have no business being Prime Minister if one, you don't know what the unemployment rate is, and two, you cannot answer one question at a time.
And you know what? I think Albanese has spent more time overseas than he has in Australia.
Oh yeah. And we
Okay.
all blame ScoMo for that. And the last thing that I'll bring up in this is that the fact that he said, I'm the Prime Minister, I run this country. If he thinks that he was going to get the women's vote, he's wrong,
Yeah,
dead wrong.
I mean, he
He doesn't have
doesn't
the
have the woman's vote anymore. yeah, like so he's lost now, he's lost the female vote. The only female that's going to vote him in is probably his missus
And his
and Penny
Penny
Wong.
Wong and all the other women serving him in his cabinet.
Well, here's the thing: will Penny Wong vote him in, or would she prefer to be prime minister herself? So,
Oh.
you know, I mean, like, and also, who was that guy that got kicked out of one of Albanese's properties?
He's about to be kicked
I
out.
don't know his name. I don't know his name, but I know. Yeah, he just got kicked out of the property pretty much the week after the budget. So go figure that one out.
No, and what was the excuse? Oh, because my missus and I are getting married, and so we have to kick you out of the home. Like,
Like, poor guy, where is he gonna go?
yeah.
Like, where are you gonna put him up, Mr. Albanese?
Yeah, like, did you give him notice? Did you give him like a full 3 months notice? Or did you just say, no, you have to leave now?
You know, might as well put him up at Kirribilli for free or at the lodge for free while he's being booted out. He has to give him at least 6 months' notice to be able to find a place.
Anyway, so
Far out.
I'm just like, you know what, this government, it has no leadership. It really has no
No
leadership.
brains either.
And but we're still spending. We're still spending money overseas. We're still spending money on useless crap that we don't need.
I mean, let's look at the money, right? We've spent majority of our money, 90 with the previous government, we've sold $90 billion for the submarines, which have not been built yet. We've sent those army tank things to Ukraine. I don't know what they're called, bush something.
They're not tanks, so like they're like trucks, so
Yeah.
they're called the Bushmasters.
Bushmasters, there you go. And we've sent money to Ukraine recently again.
Well, that's the other thing I hate is like they say, oh yeah, the reason why there's a the inflation is so high is because there's a war in Ukraine. Great, pull out of Ukraine, stop funding Ukraine, get out of Ukraine. If that's what's screwing us all up, pull out of Ukraine.
And don't forget the voice to Parliament. $450 million plus getting on a jet plane, going to Scone. Going to Scone in a private jet. He could have been in a car, chauffeur, takes 6.5, 7 hours to get past Muswellbrook to get to Scone.
Yeah, look, seriously, put him in a bulletproof,
Car.
in a car, a bulletproof, well, we'd have to make him like muscly, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. So we'll put him in a Hummer, bulletproof Hummer with a public servant, okay? And that'd be more fuel efficient, okay, than getting into a bloody jet.
With what's his name? Was it Jim
It
Chalmers
was
as
Jim
well?
Chalmers, and Jim Chalmers had his own jet, by the
Yeah, on
way.
the same day. They both flew in on the same day. Two Scone. There were two planes on the tarmac.
It must have been the traffic. The traffic must have been too much for them to handle.
Mean, you're talking net zero between 2030, 2040, 2050. You're not going to get net zero if you're both on a jet
On a
plane,
private jet plane. They're
not
not going to
sharing
get to
it.
net zero by 2030 either. And by the way, they did promise that, what was it, 80% of cars by 2030 would all be hybrid cars or electronic cars.
Yeah.
That number was refined downwards to, I think it was, what, 11%? So don't get me wrong, but I think they're off by 70 something percent on that one. So
Can we like,
their figures aren't that good.
can we like invest technology into the flux capacitor out of, because we've basically wasted money on everything else. We may as well waste money on that as
Marty,
well.
we
Give
need
me
to
a
go back in
hoverboard.
time.
Give me a hoverboard and I'll fly anyway.
Yes, make something
Like a
useful.
hoverboard. Let's all get on a hoverboard and
Go,
fly around
no,
and
why don't we make a time machine so I can go back in time and vote someone else in? That would work really well for me.
okay, let's get to the final question. Here we go, gentlemen. Lastly, is there another politician who would make a good candidate for Prime Minister and why, Leon?
You'd probably go Richard Marles because he's the second in line. He's the second in line with the Labor Party at the moment. So if they actually made the extraordinary move by canning Anthony Albanese, Richard Marles would be the obvious choice, and maybe Penny Wong would be the second choice, potentially. But I don't see any of those scenarios happen. I think what will happen is you'll go through to the May election next year, or that's when you'll announce for election in May. I don't see any of those scenarios happen. He'll go through a full term, which for the Labor Party is quite an accomplishment because they had a bad habit of knifing their former selves before their full term's up. See Rudd, Gillard, Rudd, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Well,
Buckets. Well, I mean, like, I don't think the Labor Party has a chance, considering you've got Jacinta Price on your side and Warren Mundine, and Dutton, who can actually answer questions properly, also who actually has a plan. So you're trying, I mean, you try to convince the Australian people to, vote in the Labor Party who doesn't have a plan, where average Australians are getting kicked out of their own homes because they can't afford the rent or the food under this government, versus someone who actually has a plan. And like I said, Dutton may not be that popular, but I think he's popular enough to be voted in. Okay, so yeah, I think Dutton is sensible, the sensible choice. I wouldn't say he's popular, but I think he's just trying to do his job.
I wouldn't say he's the, I would agree with Buckets. He's sensible, smart, educated,
But look,
well spoken.
if you were to say who's more popular, Jacinta Price or Peter Dutton, hands down, it's Jacinta Price. But
I don't even think there's a contest there.
yeah,
As
so.
I was saying, I would say Peter Dutton because he has a plan, but I also want to mention one name that hasn't been brought up yet, which is Max. Max from the Greens. Educated, smart, articulate, has a plan, knows what he's saying, understands renters, understands what it is to be Australian. understand what the public wants, and he is young, and he seems to understand what is going on around him. I have to give it up for Max from the Greens because I think he would make a great prime minister one day.
The only issue that the Greens actually have with Max is the fact that he's in the Greens. The Greens don't have the numbers to actually become a prime minister. And there's also one flaw that Max actually does have is the fact that he doesn't support the Israelites. He's basically supported the Palestinians, like literally a week after the genocide, which is, in my opinion, really bad. We shouldn't be supporting any side that has committed genocide, whether it's the Israelis or the Palestinians. That's one of his flaws,
But everything else.
but everything else, I think he does listen to the Australian people's needs. I do believe that he actually does care about his people, his local people, the Australian people. He believes in a rental freeze.
And a rent cap.
And yes, a rental cap is a well.
And he's a renter himself.
Yeah, so I think Max is more down to earth than a lot of the other politicians.
Yeah.
But I don't think he can ever become prime minister because he just doesn't have the numbers. Well, the Greens don't have the numbers to become prime minister. If they had a few more numbers, maybe they could be at best premier, like they did in Melbourne.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the numbers to become prime minister, unfortunately.
Have to agree there. Well, that's it for our podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Don't forget to subscribe down below. And that's what Leah is showing you. Click that bell, that'll help us get more content out to you. Let us know in the comments below what you think, your thoughts and feelings on this topic, and invite your friends to watch and subscribe and like us as well and leave us some comments. We really hope you enjoyed this with us, and we can't wait to bring you more podcasts. We'll be back next week for more. Thank you so much. This was the Labor Budget for 2024-25 with me, as always, as myself, Kat, Buckets, and Leon. Thank you so much. Stay warm, stay safe, get home safe, and we'll see you next week. Until then,
Bye.
bye.